Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me after a stunning playoff victory, well, I guess not technically postseason, but play-in victory, Justin Maltz. Maltz, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, postseason, playoff, whatever the hell you want to play in, whatever the hell you want to call it, it was a playoff atmosphere at the Wells Fargo Center last night. You could just hear it through the TV. I wasn't there, but it was great to see, and the energy was really, really high. It started off low, as we all know, if you watch the game, and it ended at a pretty high note. So really good, feeling decent going into a very big first round matchup with New York. But yeah, overall feeling positive.
Yeah, shout out Chick-fil-A.
Yes,
because it looked like shit until the bricking for chicken happened, thanks to Caleb Martin. But yeah, I mean, we're just gonna talk about the game. I mean, it was, you know, as alluded to, it was pretty shit to start out. And, you know, there are a lot of positives and there are a lot of negatives. Of course, the biggest positive being that they won in advance and get to play the Knicks rather than the Celtics. Huge win there. And we'll get into the negatives as well. But, I mean, man, they could not have gotten off to a worse start, and it was really infuriating. We'll try to go chronologically. It was infuriating considering the Heat tend to play zone against the Sixers all the time. The Sixers tend to never figure it out, and it looks like we had no preparation in place. So that was my first takeaway. Do you
I mean, the Sixers, it looked like at first the moment was too big for them. I mean, Maxey's been in the playoffs and Embiid's in the playoffs every single year. I mean, they don't go far typically, but he's had experience, and it's a play-in game, so it should technically mean less, but it's still, the stakes are high. You have to win this to, you know, let's be honest, probably advance past the first round. If you're playing the Celtics, it's looking really, really tough to get past them and rather see them later, but that's a different story. The game in and of itself, I thought the Sixers just looked slow. I mean, they really did. Yeah. The all their players looked really, really tight.
They were good for like the first 5 minutes, though. It's just as soon as that happened, they went to zone.
Zone, and it looked like guys were lost. Guys were cutting. It felt Doc Rivers-esque. We're like, hey, we have talent. And by the way, I want to say this real quick before we get into more detail. The Sixers, on every level, are a more talented team, even at full health with Jimmy Butler. They are top to bottom. The Heat are not a really, really elite deep squad. They're just not. I mean, I'm sorry, Jaime Jaquez, good young player, going to be a solid role player.
He's not the one I would call out. Like, it's more so Jovic, that they're starting. Yeah, right.
Yeah, whatever. But Jovic, I'm just saying, like, I mean, that's their
Caleb
five.
Martin,
I know Terry was in Scary Terry and blah, blah, blah.
Heywood Highsmith played like 48 minutes.
Heywood Highsmith, we had on an 8-way contract. I don't want to hear it. So, you know, let's be honest. Let's, you know, it was a good win, but chronologically, they started out really slow. They did.
For sure.
They did.
The other thing, too, with just the general start, I mean, Lowry looked like the only one showing up at first. Like, Lowry and Paul Reed I had no issues with. And when they were in man, those guys were good. I don't know if the numbers necessarily reflect it for Lowry, but he was very active. It was clear that this game meant a lot for him. But, man.
He hustled.
Yeah, he definitely did. He kept possessions alive, and especially towards the end there. It was just, I mean, Tobias actually got off to an okay start and then had one of the worst finishes ever, so stats don't look too bad, but it was one of those where it was just so frustrating. It's like, are we really doing this with Embiid again? And he's got to be better. It's whatever. We'll continue on, but
yeah,
when you talk about the talent of the team, especially when you factor in, you know, you talked about the Heat, and I do agree that the Sixers are more talented, but that's why it's so infuriating that this was a one-point game in which Jimmy Butler has a pretty severe MCL injury at the end of the first quarter, and he was essentially relegated to a spot-up shooter. So, like, while yes, they are more talented and they did get a win, it's like, I don't know, how are we supposed to beat the Knicks if we couldn't beat the hospital? We barely beat the hospital Heat. I don't know.
It's a fair assessment, and it's going to take, and the Sixers, I think, once again, I mean, you could say hospital, and I'm sure we'll, you know, dive into the Embiid, and he was not 100%. You could see that
from
the
we
jump.
We can't blame the injury for that one. It was a lack of getting the ball because of the zone. And when he got it, he wasn't making the most of those opportunities.
Correct. It was mainly schematic, I would say, in terms of, hey, space it out. We had guys cutting back door when that was just not necessary. There was ways to beat it. Absolutely. But I think other piece of it is, you know, Embiid not being 100%. There was some missed layups that he typically makes. He just does.
Yeah. And he's just got to make them. And I don't think it's the knee, though, honestly. Like, I'm sure it bothers him a little bit, but like, enough is enough. He looks fine. He's relatively healthy. He shouldn't be this bad.
And I agree with that. I mean, if you're going to put yourself out there anyway, because he could say, hey, no, I'm not good to go. I'm going to sit out like and just help the team. Because if you're really not healthy, you don't play. And Embiid, of course, this is the playoff atmosphere. And going forward, he's going to be in every single game unless he re-injures something, knock on wood. But, you know, it still does affect the team. But Tyrese Maxey has to play better going forward. I think he knows that. Of course, he's the number two option. And at times, I mean, throughout the season, he was number one. So he has to step up and really make his mark here. But there's got to be some X factors going into the Knicks series. I mean, Kelly Oubre is one of the guys that we focused on throughout the season. Say, hey, this guy can be a difference maker. Of course, last night, and we know who it was, he dominated and showed up big time. But you need guys like that. It cannot just be because Embiid had a, let's call it an off game. He's still at 23 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists on an off game, I would say. So, you know, your stars are going to get you at least 20 night, and that's low for Embiid, and even Max can get more than that. But there's got to be a third guy to really step up and say, hey, I'm going to average 15 or 10 a series in this series. They just have to. And Oubre is an option for sure. We see Batum. Maybe Hield gets hot one game, but that has to happen. Your bench cannot go cold, and they're too talented and deep of a team for that to occur in the following series. So,
I don't know if I necessarily agree that there has to be a third guy. I think the first two just have to do their job, and then they got to get some solid contributions all around. You know, I was honestly the supporting cast, like if they did what they did, and they weren't, besides Batum was on another level. They weren't anything spectacular. I mean, they should be a little bit better. Batum was really like the only one that Batum and Lowry and Paul Reed were the only ones that I felt like really showed up. And then obviously Campaign in his 3-minute stint, hit a huge three, but like,
yeah,
you know, aside from those guys, like I don't really feel like anyone, played particularly poorly. If they play at those level, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
the most part. Buddy Hield, we'll get to in a second. He's the one, not so much. But I'll go there now. So the most infuriating part of the first half to me, and this is Maxey as well. It's worse when it's Buddy though, because Maxey at least does other things, of course, and he, you know, is running the offense. He's doing several other things. Buddy Hield is there to fucking shoot the ball, and he was not shooting open threes when the offense was putrid and we kept turning the ball over because we were taking the entire, I get it, it wasn't 100% wide open. It wasn't like, wow, nobody around Buddy Hield, but this is the playoffs. You're not going to be getting those looks all the time. Shoot the fucking ball off. You're kind of open. And he's been hesitant all year on the Sixers. And I would say he's a bit more hesitant than he's been at other stops. But I mean, obviously I wasn't watching every single game he was at other stops, but he has just statistically been a more willing shooter elsewhere. And this game, he was just refusing to shoot. And it towards the end, he picked it up and he credited Joel, I believe, Maxey did at least. He provided insight on as to what there. Apparently Joel was like, please shoot the fucking ball. But oh my God, the two of them not shooting the ball, and then it was a live ball turnover, and then it was 2 points every time. Even if you just miss it, the rebound allows more times to get the shot, to get back on defense. But my God, they cannot do that again. That was unacceptable by Buddy Hield. And Tyrese Maxey, he's got to be better than that. I'm not even talking about the rest of his game and like shots falling, whatever may not be, you know, the finishes at the rim are not falling. He has to just have the awareness to shoot the fucking ball, especially when we're not a particularly great passing team and we're not going to be able to dissect that zone like that. Shoot the fucking ball. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a fair assessment. I think we said the same thing in our group chat, like, hey, shoot the damn ball.
We said it at the same exact time, which is funny. This is like, you know,
we all
whatever.
Saw it play out, but it's crazy to think like, hey, the reason, and everyone has their certain roles, and I mean, wish Tobias would embrace his more, which is basically, hey, can you be Buddy Hield and just shoot
I thought he was, I'm going to defend Tobias, I thought he was playing his role, the shots were just off.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair in that game.
Shot pretty fairly quickly. I don't know if you noticed, at least from three. All three of those attempts, one was a corner three to start, and there was one on top of the break, and they're all wide open. He mindlessly pulled the trigger. I'm really not going to complain about Tobias, despite the fact
that Tobias play style wise was totally fine in that game. Yeah. But I couldn't agree more with the Maxey and Hield take where. Yeah, I mean, the reason you bring in Buddy Hield is simply for one thing, and that's because he is an elite three-point shooter. All we need you to do is sit out there and bomb threes. That's it. Don't even go in the inside. You know, sure, if it's open, take it. But
and
you're
he
there
missed
to
open looks down low too.
Yeah, I mean, one for five from three is not going to cut it. You know, Maxi one for six. That's you know, and they'll play better. That's the great thing about what we have coming up. Unlike
totally
this,
agree.
Basically, a death sentence. Hey, you know, go play the Celtics round one. You know,
I'm just saying Joel has a track record. Is all, and that's what concerns me. It's like, dude, come on. And I know he's coming off of injury, but. This Heat team is not the Celtics. They're not some juggernaut. They did have Bam Adebayo, and they were playing a zone. And the first half, I don't think, was on Joel, and he did come alive in the fourth quarter. But like,
he did.
And I'll give him credit where credit's due, because he was hitting huge threes. He was getting to the line, and he looked more like himself. So there were some positives there. Maybe this is one just small hump into what he'll eventually get into and really discover himself in the playoffs. But you can't just rely on fouls. You gotta actually make buckets, and he can do that. I know he can do that. People joke about him being a foul merchant. He is a very good shooter, from the mid range areas particularly. But he can also shoot from three.
He's elite. He's one of the best in the league, if not the best at mid range. I mean, that's his bread and butter right there. And of course, all the post moves that he can do on pretty much any center. I mean, yes, he's dominant. We know what Joel Embiid brings to the table, but the big word is consistency. And it's funny you mentioned the fouls too. Shout out to JJ Redick on the broadcast, basically teaching Doris Burke what foul baiting is and reading NBA Twitter. Thought JJ was pretty funny last night. Fun to listen to him, but Embiid's got to be sharp.
I like JJ.
I think JJ is great. He treats the broadcast like it's a podcast. I love it.
Yeah, I guess being that we do a podcast, we enjoy that. I can see some people getting mad. I think most people like JJ, but as a quick aside, thank the Lord that Doc Rivers accepted the Bucks job, because I cannot. I would have had to mute the game if it was that result on the TV. Aside from when they actually adjusted, because Doc Rivers would have said something like, you know, I tried to tell them that we should shoot threes. All
I
this
tried
time.
To tell
them. Like, you know, I used to tell Tyrese that he had to shoot threes every time, and he just didn't do it. I'm like, you know.
It's a pretty good Doc, I'll tell you what. I think we had Doc, and now I've been getting nightmares now hearing that voice.
Right. So if Doc was announcing that game, I would have cried. And then also, I just enjoy him losing and
yes,
vetoing the Bucks franchise.
Go but Pacers. That, yeah.
That's besides the point. Yeah. Broadcast was solid, but man. Yeah. I mean, some things are going to change. Like Oubre is not going to miss as many shots. I actually thought Oubre was pretty good. He provided some energy. Shot one of the dumbest shots of all time towards the end on that scary inbound when Lowry dove for the ball and gave it to Oubre. And we just need to hold on to the ball, and Oubre goes up for a shot. It's like, dude, they can just contest that, not foul. And then it's a 3-point game and they got ball.
Yeah, that was a bad shot. Yep.
But, all right. I feel like any more negatives you want to talk about besides Tobias Harris missing 18 layups?
I feel like that's our go-to right there. But no, I mean, the Sixers, they looked really shitty in the beginning. And shout out to Nick Nurse for making adjustments.
Right. So to me, the biggest adjustment in the first half, we briefly alluded to it, but and you mentioned it. I thought a lot of them were just, they were standing next to each other. And it was against the zone, and I feel like the zone is so easy to beat, but the Sixers always struggle, and usually I think it's personnel-related. Like, they struggled, it was very famous, their struggles, when they had Ben Simmons, because you have Simmons, you have Embiid, it's a lot easier to go zone against a team like that. But when you have Embiid and four shooters, and a lot more willing shooters than they've ever had, even though I mentioned Hield's reluctance, he's still more willing than some of the guys they've had before, but then you put in Batum, Lowry, Oubre, Maxey, this version of Maxi in particular, those are willing three shooters, and they were not shooting, and they weren't giving each other space. And it was like, this is very elementary. They were doubling essentially what the zone was causing them to do. And this is, we're not a huge X's and O's podcast, so get ready, because this is the first time we're actually going to do it. Essentially what they were able to do every single time was somebody would bring it up, they would provide pressure, and then they'd send a double almost immediately as soon as they would cross the half court. Because of how the Sixers were standing, essentially one of the Heat defenders was able to guard two people by himself, and because the Sixers are so bad at passing and so bad at spacing it out, they were not able to get it to one of those two guys to swing to the other guy. And in the instances that they were able to do that, where it would be like, all right, we'll do the quick one more and he'll try to shoot the ball, the guy wasn't fucking shooting in the case of Tyrese Maxey, in the case of Buddy Hield. It was a really just abysmal display of offense. And there were guys like Batum, who had an incredible second half, and we'll talk about that because that's the big, it's the Nick Batum game. And in the first half, and this isn't necessarily his fault, I think this is more so game plan related, he was like drifting in the mid-range area. He was trying to set screens for people, like something that would work if you were playing against man, but they weren't playing against man. They were playing against zone. And he's always the guy who's amazing on the quick one more, and he can really catch those guys open. But once again, they were not shooting it. So second half adjustment, the biggest thing I noticed, they put Embiid at the, which they needed to do because yes. It was impossible to get Embiid the ball with how they were defending it. They put Embiid at the three-point line, let him cook from there a little bit, not just as a three-shooter, but just as a threat. It spaced out the defense a lot more, or the offense, which, you know, the defense was more spread out. It gave them easier looks. And Nick Batum, he mentioned how he was like, at the first I wasn't really looking to score, but he's like, I'm a good shooter. I decided to score. He would start fucking lighting it up, and that was a grown man's game from Batum, and I love that guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway. What did you notice in terms of adjustments?
Yeah, no, I would say the spacing is the biggest thing. And the Heat, I mean, they played it the same. They were in a zone the entire game or whatever. The first, you know, couple minutes they weren't. But, I mean, it was great spacing by the Sixers in the second half. Shout out to Nick Nurse for, like you said, putting Embiid up top. And, I mean, the Heat had to really send a double almost to Joel Embiid every single time, at least when he was, you know, driving towards the paint, whatever it was, which applied pressure and had guys wide open. I mean, you saw Nick Batum literally feed off open threes. You know, I think he hit one or two contested ones, but outside of that, what did he have? 5-6 threes in this game? I mean, he lit it up from downtown.
He was 6-10 from three.
The spacing was dramatically improved, and the Sixers have, like you said, they have willing shooters.
Sorry to cut you off there. Only he and Joel were the only people to make multiple threes, which is kind of insane. On the team that night.
It's a crazy stat because it's something where, like, you need other guys to step up. And, I mean, hey, we won the game by one damn point, so it has to be better, of course. But for them to bounce back, and this is a team where, hey, if you go back a year ago and say, you know, not even personnel-wise, but coaching-wise too, they're not winning that game. The adjustments don't get made. Things change. But
totally.
They look awake, and they showed up big time in the second half. They fed off the energy from the crowd. I really believe that the Brickin' for Chicken
I think booing them. I'm not like, you know, well, obviously, I mean, they're all motivated to win. Nick Batum said himself he didn't want to play Friday. Like, that was the biggest motivation. They were all saying the right stuff beforehand. But I think booing them, honestly, was like, yo, like, you can't, like, we're all seeing this. Like, you need to step up even early on, you know? Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and there was multiple, and I was even watching, there's this one shout out to this one page on TikTok that does film reviews, and the one was of last night's game is at his awful coaching is his ad, which is hilarious. But it was going through and kind of dissecting the Heat's defense in the second half and basically saying, like, literally Hero was helping on Embiid like way too much. There must have been like four plays in the second half at least.
I don't think they played a great defense. I think Hero, the Sixers were just awful.
Yeah, but like, even the Heat had some really, you know, tough laps. Correct. I mean, even the first half, the Sixers were playing stupid. They readjusted. They, you know, understood how to space it. And then the Heat's defense kind of stayed the same. And of course, Butler on offense was not the same player. So that's how we got the result. But Nick Batum, man, lit it up, showed up big time, hit shots when it mattered most.
Yeah, I really, every time they need a big bucket. The one we don't talk about too is people are going to talk about the putback. Yeah. That
insane
was a full extension. He had to essentially flick his wrist as he was falling out of bounds. Honestly, one of the craziest shots I've seen, like, bar none. Insane shot of the threes. I mean, we've talked about him all year, and this is like why he is so good. And I know a lot of people, they're not exactly watching every regular season, and that's, you know, you check in when the playoffs, I get it, it's an 82-game schedule. But, like, that's the sort of thing you can see in Batum in flashes, and it's like, you know, he's going to be big in the playoffs. And he certainly was, and he really smart defensive player, too. He had the block on Hero at the end, and he was just keeping guys in front of him, and was like, thank God we have this guy in there.
It's refreshing. I mean, we said it even before the game and in previous podcasts, we're like, we have some true veterans. I mean, Maxi said it after the game. There's multiple players that said he's a pro's pro. Like, Oubre said it. Like, he goes in, he gets his work done. You know, he's not the biggest talker on the team or the, you know, whatever it might be, the biggest partier by any means. He gets his work done. He comes in, he plays the right way, and, you know, ultimately help the Sixers out, which is something that usually, you look at the stars, but hey, every so often you get a role player that steps up. He's going to, I'm sure, have flashes here. Now, Batum's not going to average 20 in the next series. I can guarantee you that. But there's got to be other guys that step up. But shout out to Nick Batum for literally willing his way and ultimately bring the Sixers to win.
Batum was obviously we acquired in the trade along with Robert Covington for James Harden, and we got picks as well. And he is now one good playoff game away from providing as many playoff contributions as James Harden did in his entire Sixers career. Way to go, Batum. You're halfway there. You mentioned Oubre. I didn't say whole. I do think he played well. And once again, I guess I'm going back to the negatives. He was way too spastic in the beginning. I don't know if there's a good way to sort of describe it. It was too much. I'm going to charge at the rim. I don't care. And just like throw it in Bam out of Bio's face and kept blocking it. And to his credit, Bam was blocking it out of bounds. So it's kind of just like whatever. It delays the offense by a little bit. But still, just bad process. Wasn't a huge fan of that. I love Oubre. I thought he got a little bit more in control as the game went on. He of course really didn't score until like the fourth quarter.
He did have he had a huge and one late, which was a
Oh,
beautiful
totally.
entry pass by Embiid to feed Oubre, and that's hey dissecting the zone, which shout out to Embiid. I mean, that's the right pass. They had to find the guys that were open and who was covering who, whatever it was, but they found him. And I thought Oubre played fine overall. Like you said, I mean, that's kind of his play style, is he either shoots a three that's open or he's dunking on someone, which I like. We have that tenacity, which we haven't had previously inside some
I'm not going
athletic
to complain too much.
team.
It was just an observation, but
Yeah,
yes.
no. I mean, hey, it's one game, right? But I mean, Oubre, I think he was fine, so.
No, yeah, I agree. Overall, I think he was fine, which is funny because like the stats might not show it. He played 37 minutes and was 3 of 9. But someone and he was a plus 11. Meanwhile, Nick Batum, who was our lowest on the team, he was a minus 10, which is just insane.
Hilarious.
But I would imagine the first half he was like a minus 30 would be the not because of
Had to
him
be.
specifically, but because of playing with Buddy and all those, and then everything kind of built from there. But Nick Nurse wasn't the only person that noticed, or we weren't the only people that noticed. Nick Nurse, honestly one of the biggest stories of the game, and this is the biggest positive. Down the stretch, what was it? It was Lowry was at the scorer's table, and it was like, oh, he's checking in for Hield, I guess, right? And then it was going to be like, or I think it was Oubre. It was like, oh, he's coming in for Hield because that would be our starting lineup. And then I think Batum came out with him, and I was like, wait, so we got Lowry's in there, or it was Lowry that came out with him. It's like, wait, we got Lowry, we got or we got Batum, we got Oubre, we got Maxey, and we got Embiid. Wait, who's missing? That's Tobias Harris. He finally did it. He benched Tobias Harris for the last 6 minutes or so, and it was a beautiful decision. And of course, they won, and they probably lose that game with Tobias Harris because Oubre had a huge moment, as did Kelly, as we mentioned with that and one. Lowry dove for the ball to save it from Nick Batum when the Heat were playing suffocating defense on that inbound. Like they all had moments on Maxey and Embiid. We all know. They probably lose that with Tobias Harris. And thank God Nurse made the adjustment and he's made it early. There's more to come with Tobias being benched, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, we said it before, and I mean it's a really true quote. I forget who said it before, but I mean it's not who starts the game, it's who ends it. And it really is true. I mean, we had Tobias out for the final 6 minutes, which was, I guess the word I would use is refreshing. It's fine. It's refreshing to see a coach that actually knows exactly what he's doing and is confident in his decisions. And we finally have the personnel to say, hey, let's put this lineup out there. We don't need Tobias. Yeah, congrats. You make $36 million a year. Don't give a shit. You're not playing the last 6 minutes, which I love the decision there. To start the game, I think he's going to start every single game in this next series. I don't know if you think differently.
Oh, I think he's going to start. I'm just talking about. I think there's a quicker trigger to pull him, at to close out games. And the other thing I would say is, I think he's going to start every game. But if things go poorly, I could see Nurse. Like if we're down, let's say we're down, if we're down 2-0, I think Tobias Harris is out. I think he's the first one, and that's just hypothetically. Or if we're in like a game six and things just aren't clicking, we lose two in a row, and it's like I think that's the first adjustment that gets made in terms of any rotation tweaks, is to bench Tobias Harris. And in fairness, like I love Oubre. If it means Nick Batum starting, I think we might have to. And it's not just because of that one game. Batum just plays so well with Embiid. We need, and he's the only guy who can get it to Embiid. And because I know we talked about bringing him out was good, and we agree. But everyone wants him to be closer to the rim. But Batum's like the only guy who can get it to Embiid close to the rim because he's the only plus passer on the team, really, besides Lowry. And sometimes
Yeah,
Maxey's.
I agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having Batum start over Oubre and then just
Yeah.
bringing
Obviously, I'd
Oubre
rather
out,
have it over
subbing him in for
Harris.
Tobias, whatever, 6, 7 minutes in, who cares? And kind of have that lineup running for a little bit if that means Tobias has to start, just how the politics work of the team. But yeah, I don't mind Batum starting, which he started a good amount of games throughout the season anyway, barring injuries and all that sort of thing. But yeah, I think Batum certainly has a case to start. All those guys do. I mean, we're basically 7 or 8 deep that all could rotate in and out of the starting lineup. Let's be
Yeah,
honest
for
here.
sure.
But
Especially when Melton's back, it's important to note he did not play this game. He was out. And of course, he's like been in and out since returning from injury, and he would be a huge addition. But I mean, I
yeah.
guess if they're worried, which reasonably so, back injuries can be tough. I don't know how he's feeling, but he did come back in the regular season. So here's the hoping that Melton can return and be a contributor.
Yeah.
Because if
Yeah,
you
he
replace those, either healed or Payne's minutes with Melton, who I think is quite a bit better, give Lowry a bit of a break. That's huge.
it would no, it would definitely help. I mean, they basically went let's see, they went, 8 deep plus 3 minutes from campaign. So,
Yeah.
eight point
And
one
Paul
three.
Reed's only playing 10 minutes with.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's it on a hobbled and B game, which is pretty remarkable. And he played a lot of minutes and finished really strong. So, I mean, I was overall very, very impressed with the Sixers and the way they bounced back. It was one of those games where you look at halftime and say, oh, this one's over. I already know how this goes. And especially against a good Heat team, which we tend to always struggle with the zone, it's just the Sixers' history. And it was refreshing to see, coaching adjustments and see
Right.
how they ended on a positive note, because this can be a momentum builder for the team. I think
Totally
chemistry
agree.
wise is huge going into a really, really tough series that is going to be physical. And of course, the Sixers being the lovely 7 seed means every series starts on the road, which I can't
Right.
wait. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
It is definitely great to end on a high note and momentum builder. I totally agree. I don't want to say, like, I'm not trying to talk myself into it much. Obviously, I would rather have them get a dominating win, and I'm a little worried that the Heat. Well, I'll talk about that later, but I think the Heat might have given a blueprint of how teams should defend the Sixers. Not that it hasn't necessarily been out there in years before, but obviously seeing it on national television in an elimination game is pretty telling. But besides the point, it is a momentum builder, but it also kind of is one of the best case scenarios because they did get punched in the mouth too. And it's one of those where I think they really experienced like, fuck, we can't like just do what we've been doing and been like we roll. We got to adjust, which we saw adjustments, which we usually don't see, as we talked about before, because of having a new coach and because Nick Nurse is really good. And then we also saw Embiid come to life in the fourth quarter and as the game ended. And that's really positive to see because he's had moments of the bad things. It's just you would have hoped that you got a better Embiid and a better Maxey game. But the fact that they ended strong, at least Embiid did, it's definitely something to note, and I think that they can build upon going forward. But yeah, I'm a little worried about that blueprint, especially with the personnel the
Yeah.
Knicks have. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, the playoffs, I like the what you said where they got punched in the mouth and they understand, hey, this is a different atmosphere, because the playoffs really are. It's almost a completely different game the way that
Yeah.
teams
And they got
plan
to experience
for.
that without losing,
Yeah,
and in a
which is the
game where
best
they
part.
really did need to win that. I know you need to win every game, but especially when you're in a play-in and it determines you playing the best team in the league or like a potentially fraudulent two seed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a very important win, and I think the way that they won, facing adversity and coming back from that, what was it, 13, 14 point deficit, was huge. So,
I think it might have even been large. It felt larger than that,
yeah. So,
but it might not have been.
well, yeah, whatever it was, though, it was still a great effort there, and it's going to be tough, though. I mean, teams plan for their opponents very, very well, which I'm sure the Sixers are doing, vice versa, but. Everyone knows what Joel Embiid brings to the table. Tyrese Maxey used to be that kind of X factor. He's not. He's circled on everyone's board. He's the number two guy, if not number one at times, depending on the health of Embiid. So he's there. It's very clear that they're going to attempt to lock up Tyrese, which you're not going to stop him. It's the same thing with Brunson, but it's a tough matchup. There has to be. This is why I go back to the bench and the deepness of the team. There has to be someone that steps up. I'm not saying they give you 20 like Batum. No, but you need maybe multiple guys to really step up and show out. I can't have any 1 for 9 and 2 for 8. It just can't happen. We need efficiency. We need high volume shooting from all of our guys outside of the core of Embiid and Maxey. It's true, and they have to step up. And luckily, I am confident. Unlike previous season where I said, we kind of have five guys and then it falls off a cliff. No, this is a team of about 8 or 9 at times. deep. It's a very deep team. So I'm confident in the role players to step up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm confident as well to some extent. The Heat game did alarm me more than I thought it would. I thought it would be a relatively easy win. I do think there are obviously, as we talked about, positives to take away from the fact that it was a close game, because you know we need that. That closer's been someone we've struggled with, and we lost quite a bit of close games towards the end in the regular season. Granted, those were out without Joel, but it was, you know, there's definitely positives. And then I just think for the Knicks series, you talked about someone stepping up. Now it's going to be interesting to see how they defend. I think they're going to do zone. I think they're, we'll talk about more in a Knicks preview, but you know, Embiid did have Bam on him. I'm not giving him an excuse, but Bam is one of the better defensive centers in the league. And me saying that, I don't, doesn't matter for Embiid. Embiid's got to be better. Maxey, I actually think Bam being out there bothered Maxey the most, because Bam was staying close to the rim when he was out there, and he was definitely blocking and altering shots. And I think a lot of those looks Maxey usually knocks down. So I'm actually not too worried about the Maxey. The reluctance to shoot three is what pissed me off. The finishes that he didn't necessarily get that he usually does, I don't give a shit. It looks pretty good. Same with the other guys. There was a couple of, I mean, there's missed calls on both sides. But like I know Lowry got hammered on a couple of those and just no call at all. So and he ended up like missing some of those shots. So I'm not too worried. I think the Knicks series is going to be interesting, which we'll talk about once I think we're pretty much done with this game. But if you have anything else.
No, overall solid, you know, well, great win, not solid win, great win to come back from that, but looking forward to the next challenge here, which is on the way.
Yeah, I know I briefly alluded to it, but also that I want to reiterate that Heat defense schematically was great, but they had guys like Tyler Hero out there and we couldn't expose them, and Hero was on a beat at some points, and it was really tough. I don't know, they just got to be better, and hobbled Jimmy Butler, which granted, they didn't know how hobbled he was, but he did kind of look like just a spot-up shooter in the second half. So,
yeah.
But we shall move on, because that game's over. We're never seeing the Heat again. So, all right. Knicks. So we haven't talked a ton about them, the Knicks in general as a opponent, because we thought it was going to be the Bucks. Doc Rivers screwed us by... I wanted the Bucks, to be clear. Not just because Giannis is injured. Actually, it wasn't even because Giannis was injured. I just wanted to beat Doc Rivers and play Doc Rivers. And now I don't think they'll get a chance to do that, even if they advance, because I don't know. I guess in the following round they could, but I don't know. We'll see. But the Knicks have been on fire. They're a very good team. They have crushed the Sixers in the regular season. Granted, Joel only played one of those games, but they blew us out in the game where Joel was playing, and he was fully healthy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Knicks?
Like 10 being I'm super worried?
Yep.
I'm a 4 right now.
In the group chat, I feel like you said otherwise yesterday, but I'll roll with it.
Well, maybe 2. I was two yesterday. I'll go between 2 and 4. I think a lot of
that's
fans
what they call
like,
3.
I didn't know that. All right, we'll go 3. We'll go 3. I'll lower it. You know, I'll lower it. I'll stand 3. Fuck the Knicks.
All right. What makes you so confident?
Well, star power I think wins in the NBA, and I count 1.5 stars on their team. So.
Is the half being OG?
Yeah, OG's not a star. He's a high-level, I don't want to call him a role player.
Well,
he kind of is.
It's kind of like the Klay Thompsons.
He's
more defense than Klay was, but he's less
offense. Brunson's a fantastic player. OG's a very good player. Josh Hart doesn't scare me. Hartenstein.
I don't know. I think he's just a great role player. Not Hartenstein. Hart, to be clear, who I'm talking about. Yeah, Hartenstein, I think, is fine, though.
He's fine, but like they have a bunch of guys that are just kind of blah.
I like DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo, blah.
I think Boyan can do some damage. Boyan, like McBride as a defender, I'm not worried. Especially on Maxey. I don't know. They have
some guys. They are a tough defensive minded team, which makes this a difficult matchup. But offensively, I think if the Sixers on defense can lock in a little bit and really shut down Brunson. Which you're not going to shut him down completely, of course. He's had a fantastic season and he'll continue to in the postseason, but. If the Sixers can play some level of defense and can at least contain Brunson a little bit, I don't see a lot of scoring options on that. I just don't. That's just me. I don't know.
I agree, but they're kind of... They can get hot between Hart and Ananobi, DiVincenzo. They have guys that can... Bogdanović, same thing. They have guys that can get hot. And their identity is a defensive-minded team. I actually think they're just a better version of the Heat team we just played, especially the Hospital Heat, because the Hospital Heat, I'm taking Brunson over Jimmy any day, an injured Jimmy.
Of course.
You know, yeah, I'd rather have Bam than any of those guys, but I'd also rather have OG, DiVincenzo, or whoever over any of the Heat guys, including Tyler Herro, who was awful yesterday, or we didn't talk much about it, but even though he held up on defense, he was 9 of 27 from the field. And in general, he's just not a strong defender. He was definitely one of the Sixers' biggest helpers that day. I don't know. I think the Knicks are a much better team. They got Mitchell Robinson back off the bench now. He's looked terrible, but they do have two bigs they can throw on Embiid, and it's not like the Heat. Bam was in foul trouble, and they were still able to lock up Embiid. So I think depending on how you do it with zone, I know they've thrown OG on Embiid before. It does worry me. They're a physical team that doesn't bode well for an injured Joel. Granted, OG Anunoby gets injured a lot too. I know we're not one to talk about injuries, but I don't know. I think, and he is coming back from an injury, so who knows how healthy OG is. What's your official prediction in terms of who wins and how many games?
I have Sixers in. I'm torn between 6 and 7. 7 would be on the. I'm going to say 6 because we would be home for that.
You gave
correct?
Us a 3 in terms of concern. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have six.
I would also say Sixers in 6, but I have a bit more concern than you do.
I have them in 6. I just think they're the better team. I really do. I think just I know the Sixers 7 seed. They've been banged up. They are. I'm sorry if Joel Embiid played, we'd be a 2 seed lock. The whole season.
I totally agree. I just think Knicks team is very good, and we don't have a healthy Joel. We have a hobbled Joel.
We do, correct.
And they have home court, and they have...
They have home court. I do think missing Randall, which I know you say if they had Randall, it'd be better. I don't... Maybe.
Better without Randall.
I don't know. It's just like one of those things where Randall gets...
Randall is the worst playoff player of all time. He's worse than James Harden. He is the worst, just based off of his career.
Whatever. They lost it. They can't go as deep, though. Bottom line is I think the Sixers are a more talented team. Yes, the Knicks are a hard-nosed defensive team, and they have Jalen Brunson who can light it up, and they have really, really high-tier role players that can show up and show out, which I think the Sixers, for once, actually have some decent role players. You know, we can match some of that level of intensity, maybe not on defense, but our offensive production should be greater. It just should. I don't see a ton of offense. I'm sorry. Josh Hart, yes, can get rebounds. He's a great defender. He's not lighting you up. He's just not. Josh Hart's not going to score more than 10. He shouldn't. He really shouldn't. I don't know what he averages. He might, but you know, yes, Bogdanović can get hot. DiVincenzo can bomb threes, but like, I don't see a ton of weapons on their team.
No, I get it. I think
if Sixers play like dumbasses like last night, sure, I get it.
But I think they're prone to dumbassery. I don't know. I'm just saying. I agree. We have the best, and we have the third best player. And then there's a significant drop off after Maxi, I would say. And then it's probably OG.
It's probably OG, and then I would go.
Probably another drop off, and then it's like take your pick of role players. But I still think the Knicks have more of those guys than the Sixers. I think Hart and DiVincenzo are right there with Batum and Oubre.
And Lowry at times. I mean, Lowry's not a huge
player. Lowry at times. But I also worry just in terms of stopping. It's easier to stop Joel, even though I said he was the best player in the series. It's easier to stop Joel because you can scheme that. You can't really scheme stopping a point guard. It's kind of just like we need good defenders to do that in the Sixers. Yeah. Well, Lowry did a nice job on Hart last year in the playoffs, I believe. I meant Brunson.
He's Hart. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did a good job on Brunson last year in the playoffs. I think, you know, you're still relying on an old Kyle Lowry to stop an MVP candidate. And even then, aside from Lowry, I mean, if Melton comes back, that would be pretty huge for stopping Brunson. But then you're relying on those bigger guys and slower guys like Batum. And Grant, Brunson's not a freak athlete. It's not like he's going to sprint out of there. And correct. Batum can definitely do it. I just worry about the amount of guys you can throw. Brunson's great at manipulating defenses and being physical and drawing fouls. Granted, fouls tend to go down in the playoffs, but we also have Joel Embiid, so it affects both teams.
Fantastic series. It really is. It's two teams that are, I hate to say, keep
expensive
using gritty and tough, and pricey tickets.
Good fan bases though. So you got, I like it.
You got two of the most passionate fan bases in sports. Thank God. No offense to the Sacramentos, which I love, and you know they just caught a stray. But New York and Philly, I mean, outside of Boston, even Miami's a weak fan base. I don't care what you say.
Right.
New York and Philly are two of the top fan bases in the entire NBA. They just are. So for us to get this matchup, it's going to be awesome. Both home courts, Madison Square Garden, Wells Fargo Center, are going to be electric. Every game is going to be extremely intense and physical. So yes, although I'm confident, I think the Sixers end up winning this series, I still think it goes six games. I do. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if it went seven. I don't think either team has a true advantage.
I have more concern than you.
You do. Yeah, you do, which is fair. I get it. I get where you're coming from. And I've seen the Sixers. We saw it last night in the first half.
The Knicks can do a better version of what the Heat just did. And in general, I think they're very similar style. Granted, Tom Thibodeau is not close, or Thibodeau is nowhere close to Eric Spoelstra, even though he's a fine coach. And we always talk about coaching doesn't matter, but Spoelstra is like the one exception that was almost a coach win right there, because he was their best asset last night. So yes, the Knicks won't have that, but they just have way better personnel, and the players do win the games more so than the guys. It is on the road, as we mentioned. And the other thing that concerns me, well, besides the physicality and all that, and how they played us in the regular season, I don't know. It just seems, this seems like a team, and this is how I think it's going to go. It seems like a team that's going to have a big win one of the first two games, especially because they're at home. And I think the Sixers are going to go down early is my prediction. I think they're going to go down at least 1-0 and then rally back, or at 1-1, whatever it may be. It's going to be even, I think, going back to Philly. And then they got to make the most of that. The Sixers team doesn't really do well with their backs against the wall. I just think there's going to be a blowout win by the Knicks, and I think there's going to be a close win by the Knicks, and then the Sixers will still win in six, but it does concern me. And I think all the Sixers wins will probably be pretty close.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the blowout win from the Knicks side of things. I think the Sixers have potential to, and we saw throughout the season, it happened. I mean, it really did. Now the regular season versus playoffs are a completely different atmosphere.
And no Joel.
No Joel, yeah. But the one with Joel was, I believe, a blowout. So
right.
There's certainly a chance for the Knicks to absolutely blow us out. I still think, and I think most people would say, hey, we're the more talented team. But even the media, just watching some of the shows and seeing what people are picking, it is really split. There's a lot that say, hey, it's the Knicks for sure. There's a lot that are on the Sixers side. It's a close series
for sure, but I just want to say in the media, I'm not saying like the Sixers should be prohibitive favorites at all, and I'm not implying that most media like doesn't believe what they think. I'm just saying if you're a media member, it in terms of your own growth and popularity, it does make a little bit more sense to say pick the Knicks, because trolling Philly is usually pretty good for your career, and also being like a pro New York person is generally pretty good for your career.
Yeah, well, people love picking it. I mean, it's so fun watching like part of the interruption of Tony Kornheiser, and he's just like, "Yeah, the Sixers have no shot." It's like,
yeah,
okay.
No, that I agree. I mean, like Bill Simmons has done it for.
Well, Bill Simmons is criminal. We should lock him up for his takes.
No,
oh my God, his charts.
No, I mean, free take space, but he did not. I don't know. I don't mean to go on a side on Simmons, and I don't really care about this award, but most improved player, he decided to go against what he usually does. He's like, yeah, I used to give it to these second and third year players, but Tyrese Maxey doesn't deserve it. And he voted Kobe White for most improved. And I believe he had two other guys as two and three.
The only argument I agree with is that Maxey was already good. I think that's what
No, I agree
time.
With that general statement.
Which
actually, I have no problem with Kobe White winning it, but I think Maxey should at least be number two. And I think Maxey is going to win. It just seems like the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, Maxey is the best player there. He definitely took a huge leap. I mean, I don't know what more he can do. But, yeah, I guess the argument, hey, he's already good. I'll take that as well. It's a compliment. So, sure.
The one that bothers me the most is when Ja Morant won it a couple of years ago. Ja Morant won it after he carried the Grizzlies in the playoffs. And
that made no sense. Yeah, that made no sense.
It was like, yeah, statistically, he did have the biggest jump, and he's one of the best players in the league after being like a near star, but he was also the same exact guy in the playoffs. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that. Really the award. I mean, the award just like MVP is flawed. So there's a lot of flaws.
No, for sure. I don't mean to make this a most improved player rant, but I don't think it's anywhere. It's just funny how people that voted for Ja Morant are now not voting for Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It should be an interesting series. We of course Saturday's the first game. Quick turnaround. The Knicks are getting a lot of rest too, which is the other thing. I don't know. Do you have any other further thoughts on the series, or
I'm looking forward to it. I think after game, well, of course, after game one, we will get a great read and kind of know exactly how the Sixers mentally, physically, all around how they look, because it is going to be a physical series. I hope Joel Embiid can at least slowly start to get more, not even healthy, but just conditioning wise in shape. And that only comes from playing at game speed, which, you know, he played last game. He's going to continue to play throughout the series. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be tough. The Sixers need to hit their shots and shoot open threes. That is the theme that we've noticed throughout the years, and shoot the damn ball. I mean, we've had it from Ben Simmons all the way until shoot the damn ball. I mean,
except these guys can actually shoot, which
they
is why it's annoying. Because it's
they can.
With Ben,
like,
I get it.
Trigger.
You're going to make, you know, 10% of your threes with these
guys. Pull the
guys.
Trigger. You got a guy that's 7 foot one and 40 pounds heavier than everyone else out there. Pull the damn ball. He might get the rebound. Let him go. Just let it go. I mean, you got to totally shoot their shots. And Tyrese Maxey, I think, is going to be huge in this series. He's the one guy that I think could really honestly have some huge games. If he gives us 35 or 40 in one of these games, which he has the potential to absolutely get 40, he does. It's a crazy take, but I wouldn't be shocked if, hey, game three, Maxey goes off for 40 points, you know, and Embiid has 30. That can happen. So we're going to need some explosive games from our top two guys. You just are. And the Knicks need it as well. But I think the Sixers ultimately just win this series in six. More talent.
Okay. I just want a quick aside. Sam DiGiovanni, of course, tweeted out the uniforms we're wearing. In the first four games, three of those uniforms we're going to be wearing the red uniforms. So that's at least two losses.
Oh, my God.
Probably
the red.
Yeah.
The red unis.
That nothing ever goes well in. Yes.
Oh, my God. Those are disaster class unis. First of all, they're so. What are the Knicks wearing?
The Knicks are in white game one, blue in game two, white game three, blue game four.
Wow. I mean, we should be going. Yeah. I'm looking at their. Wow. It's a lot. Yeah. Way too much red. Way
yeah,
too much red.
We
for me.
Those red uniforms are cursed.
Game one should be blue. Game two should be, I guess, white. Honestly,
well, you can wear white
care.
On the road. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, as long as the other team's in that.
I mean, at home we're wearing blue. Oof.
Well, we've done that before. We did that yesterday.
Yeah, way too much red. This is a bad, bad.
Yeah.
Now you know why I changed. It's Knicks and four. It's yeah, now. Right. It's Knicks and four.
It's reasonable take. The other funny thing too, or not funny thing, I just want to do a quick aside. Jimmy Butler, who is I not even talking about yesterday, just a general statement. Not as great of a playoff performer historically in his entire career, as people seem to think. Even here, he was not quite as good. We should have held on to him. Everything, of course. But I did just want to say, I don't know if you saw this. The Heat made that post on Instagram. Talking about how Butler has a right MCL sprain and he's been ruled out of the other play-in game. And Jimmy Butler added Kelly Oubre and said, we're throwing hands. Buddy, the only reason he got injured was because he was baiting a foul. Fuck off, Jimmy. Enjoy being at home. I'm sorry you got injured. But don't bait for a foul. Try to draw contact. Just shoot the open shot and you would have been fine and you probably would have won the play-in game. That's all I got to say about Jimmy.
I think he was trolling in that comment. I don't know, though, for sure. It seems like he was, but who knows? Maybe he's serious. But
I don't care.
Yeah, I agree.
I will take
I
any Jimmy Butler
playoff, comments. Playoff Jimmy my ass. No, I mean, he definitely turns up in the playoffs just because he doesn't play the
recent
season,
years,
so
he's been great in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to go down from what he does because since he's basically in Cancun and like,
well, he was
Fort Lauderdale.
Right, exactly.
During the season. And, dude, take a vacation. He's riding horses in January when everyone else is playing basketball. He's taking breaks. It must be in his contract. I must have missed the 30-day vacation.
Right.
Midseason.
He gets a lot of PTO.
Yeah, he must.
But more so than any player in the league. Even when he's playing, it's PTO because he's in Miami and he doesn't really try.
Yeah, no, it's a great life. Hey, I don't blame him for going down there and signing that big contract. Must be awesome.
I was always on top of that. We didn't have the podcast then, but you and I were talking as well as with other people back then. I before anyone else, I was like, this fucking Jimmy guy is like not trying at all for us because he was really trying hard in Minnesota in the regular season, which was annoying. He got to Philly, did not try, refused to shoot threes, was fighting with coaches. And then when he was good in the playoffs, people were like, a playoff Jimmy. It's like, well, if he put a little bit more effort in the regular season, we could have like had more of a game plan of run everything through Jimmy without just being like throwing up our hands. I don't know. He screwed us a lot more than people realize in that season. Also, he sucked in Game 7 as much as people talk about playoff Jimmy. That's all. And Jimmy, his stats overall were overrated.
Jimmy had his flaws for sure. Absolutely. But, yeah. You know, I guess he culture only lasts one half. So,
hell yeah. Well, that's going to be it. We'll talk to you throughout the Knicks series at some point. I'll figure out when. Obviously, we're going to do podcasts a little bit differently because these are the playoffs and this is what matters. So, just want to thank everyone for listening. But where can they find you, Maltz?
Usual Sixers Mania. We posting all sorts of shit during the season or during the postseason.
They were very active last night.
Good, bad, you name it. I'm sure the comments will be flowing. You know, if it's a bad game, the engagement's always the up even more because people are pissed off. So let's hope it's Sixers in six. That's my prediction. It could be Sixers in four. Who knows? Not going to happen, but let's go.
Yep. Sixers in six. You can find me on all social media platforms at Will Coffrin. Thank you for listening. Until next time.